you up, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, do you feel the joy of the Lord in this house today? Oh, we thank you for it, God.
The world didn't give it, and it can't take it away. What's down in my soul, joy won't let go. In every season, it will never fade. What's down in my soul, joy that won't let go. Sing it, babe.
Darkness may come, storms may rage, but one thing's for sure, this I know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The louder I sing, the more joy you bring. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With me may come, but it won't steal my joy.
Oh, yes, joy unspeakable.
I've tasted and seen of the real thing. What's down in my soul, joy that won't let go. The garment of praise for my heaviness. What's down in my soul, joy that won't let go.
Say darkness may come,
darkness may come, storms may rage, but one thing's for sure,
it is my strength, unspeakable.
though the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Joy like a river.
Comes with it. There's peace that comes with the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Amen. I'm blessed to be in the house of the Lord today with all my church family. Well, I think of David in the Bible. David had a lot of things going for him. He was a king. He was a giant slayer. You know, he was a good guy. You know, everybody loved David. He was a musician. He had a lot of things going for him. But we see in Psalms chapter 27, verse 4, that David says, out of all the things, all the opportunities, all the accolades, out of everything that he had and could have, David said, there's one thing that I desire of the Lord that I'm going to seek after, and it's that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate and to inquire in his temple. We're blessed to have the house of God. We're blessed to come together. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that as we see the coming of the Lord coming closer and closer, we need to come together. Closer and closer. And let me tell you something. Just like I said, when you come to the house of God, there's things that come into this house with the presence of the Lord. If you need healing in your body today, we're going to go into a time of prayer. If you need confusion, if you need the Lord to touch confusion, it's in the house today. Direction's in the house today. So whatever your need may be, I wonder if you would symbolize it with the raising of your hand and ask the Lord to help it. Pray for somebody beside you. Ask the Lord to touch their need. Jesus, we thank you for this day, God. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, Jesus, to see your beauty, God. We thank you for the joy that we feel in the house today, Lord, but I also thank you for how you are wanting to meet the needs of your people right now. God, I pray against every bit of sickness, God, that will come into this house and in every family. Oh, God, I pray that you will let there be healing in every body, Jesus, healing from all pain, Jesus. God, I pray that you would touch the need in every mind, God. I bind all depression. I bind all anxiety in this house today, God. God, I bind every issue, God, that would hurt your people, God, that would discourage your people. I bind discouragement right now, God. Lord, I pray right now for a healing in Zion's body, God. Whatever it may be, Jesus, you are able to meet it. You are able to touch it according to your perfect will, Jesus. I pray that you would get glory in this situation, God. That you would get glory in your people today, Jesus. God, that is... we receive peace as we receive joy, God, that you would get all the glory. Let no flesh glory in your presence today, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. One more need. Sister Roberta Curtis, we've been told that she's struggling with chronic arthritis. She's dealing with a lot of pain, but we serve a God that can meet all pain. Amen. So let's go before the Lord and pray that he would touch Sister Roberta's body. Lord, I pray right now, Jesus. God, you see every joint in Roberta's body, God. God, you see everything that she is struggling with, every bit of pain, every abnormality in her body. I pray right now that you would touch it, God, that you would remove it, Jesus. That you would let your miraculous healing power go to Roberta right now, Jesus. That she would feel a change. Lord, that she would feel peace and comfort in her body, Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would get the glory, that she would know that you are the one that touched her body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, you are able to do it, God. We believe you not only for this need, God, but for the need that you are touching, the need that you are meeting right now in every person in your house, God, in your body, God. We love you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Our ushers are coming. They're already in place. We're going to give to the Lord. Anybody a blessed tither in the house? A blessed giver? Amen. We're going to give cheerfully. We're going to pray that God's going to bless it, multiply it, use it for his kingdom. Pray with me over our offering. Jesus, We love you. We thank you, God. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, both spiritually, physically, and financially, God. We return our financial blessing back to you, God. I pray that you would multiply it, use it, press it down, shake it together, run it over. Lord, bless every gift and every giver. I pray, God, that you would have your way in your people, have your way in this offering. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Worship with us as we sing one more time.
This is how. Come on, can you lift your hands to Him? Can you magnify Him?
Your name is holy. Your name.
hands, all you people. Clap your hands, all you people. Everybody in the house, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You reign, Jesus. You reign, Jesus. You reign, Jesus. You reign. Praise God. Turn about three people and tell them, say, He reigns. Hallelujah. Amen. So great to be in the house of the Lord today. So great to have you in the house of the Lord today. Now, if you've been here before, maybe this is your second or third time, you might remember we told you you're going to like something so well, at least one thing, that you're going to want to come again. This is an addicting place. And so I'm here to tell you I told you so. And I said that first because if you're a guest here today and this is your first time at APC, we want to welcome you. We want to tell you the second you walked in, you started getting loved, whether you liked it or not. And we are so glad that you're here. And let me tell you what I've told others. We're going to treat you so many ways you're bound to like at least one of them. And you're going to come back again and again and again. We are glad that you're with us today. I'm Pastor Brad, chief troublemaker around here. I would love to meet you after service in the foyer. Amen. But until then, we want you to know from everybody here at APC, we're glad you're here to worship with us, that you've taken time to worship with us. Come on, APC, would you welcome our guests here today? Thank you for joining us. Whether you know it or not, you're a blessing. You're a blessing to us to be here. Man, why don't you turn around? Don't go too far, because I feel a spirit of preaching on me. So don't go too far today, but maybe somebody right next to you in the aisle there, just greet. I want to make sure everybody gets love. We've got guests here today, so just turn around, shake somebody's hand. Take somebody by the hand, tell them you love them. If you feel it, go ahead and hug them. Go ahead and hug them. Praise God. Woo! Anybody excited about Thanksgiving? Oh, y'all was talking. Anybody excited about Thanksgiving? Me too. One of my favorites. I like Thanksgiving. I don't want to make anybody mad. Not sure about all that Santa Claus stuff. But Thanksgiving's in the Bible. Amen. Praise God. All you people getting in a rush trying to get into next week. Yeah. Don't skip over about what we're about to do, because there's power in Thanksgiving. You know, I got to thinking about this. Hold on. You're starting my engine before I'm ready to go. You got to calm it down. She's doing all that stuff. I'm getting stuff. I was at a conference this week, and somebody asked me, they were talking about pre-COVID versus post-COVID. They said, have you seen any differences in your church and in dealing with people? And I said, you know, the one thing that I've noticed that possibly could be happening is there seems to be, and maybe this is a generational thing, I'm not sure, I'm still thinking on it, that there is this difference in resiliency before versus after, or maybe previous generation. Can I say this? Because I'm 52. I'm getting old. I got snow on the roof here. Getting old, Bart. Me and you, buddy. And maybe I'm biased, but I just think, elders, I need you to get with me right here, all right? Don't leave me alone here. They'll kill me. Don't leave me alone. I just think that we used to do Thanksgiving better than what the current generation does. I mean, maybe it was the era that I lived in.
But I think they just got it. And we did it a lot. I can't help. I got a message I want to preach today, but I can't help. I've had this song rolling. And I know my wife's like, oh, Lord, he's going to sing. I feel the spirit of Bishop on me. You know, he's got to sing before he preaches everything. But that's why I left these people up here, because they're going to save me. But this song, I can't get it out of my head, Joe. When I think of the goodness of Jesus. And come on. See, I see the elders. Yeah. And all he has done for me. I can't help it. My soul cries out. Hallelujah. Woo! Hello, hello. Thank God. Thank God. I want to thank God. Saving me. Woo! Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Somebody sing my soul.
My soul cries out, hallelujah.
Oh, thank God
for saving me.
Listen, we used to do this one. Listen.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me.
Come on, help me.
Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free.
Jesus, I'll never.
Jesus, I'll never forget.
Oh, how you brought me. Calm myself down. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And forget not all of his benefits. We have been talking about benefits, the benefits of Thanksgiving the last few weeks. Last week we talked about the benefit of enough, about accepting your season and learning that no matter what that season brings, to be content, because your enough is not in the circumstances of your season, but it's in Christ. Christ alone will I glory. Through Christ I can do all things. Amen, Paul said. So if you want to hear that, you go back online and you listen to that. I ain't doing that today. I want to take you to Psalms 136 and 1. Here's what it says. Why don't you put it up there and let's read it together. Here we go. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Turn to somebody right now and say, give him. Turn to somebody else and say, give him. I want to preach today, just for a little bit, about the benefits of your voice. The benefits of your voice. Now, for all of you quiet people, this may be a little unnerving. I had to look it up. There's a young lady, and I want to make sure I get this right. Her name is Annalisa Ray, and she is known only, from what I can tell, for the world's loudest shout, which ironically, she shouted quiet. But she shouted the word quiet to a level of 127 decibels. So if you don't know how loud that is, that's like standing next to a jet engine on a 747 and putting your ear up to a jet engine. That's a big mouth. I don't know. I can't measure this. We ought to measure it. I may have given her a run for her money one Sunday or another. I'm not sure. But I want to talk to you about the power of your voice today. I want your Thanksgiving to be awesome. Anybody want an awesome Thanksgiving? Well, five of you, the rest of you don't care. How about the rest of you? Does anybody want to have an awesome Thanksgiving? I mean, who would not want to have an awesome Thanksgiving? I'm going to show you how. And it's going to be by what you say and the words that come out of your mouth and the voice that you raise to Him. Would you lay your Bibles down and lift your hands to heaven? Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Father, we thank You. Jesus, You are worthy of everything. God, this is all about You, and it is all about how we interact with You here today. I pray, Lord, that every ill-conceived notion might be wiped away in our hearts so that we can receive the word of the Lord. I pray, God, that the preacher, Lord, would become an instrument of Your glory and Your power. And Jesus, that Your word would be spoken to us. And God, it would explode into everything that we needed to be. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise for His word. The Lord bless you today. You can be seated. There is a power in voices, in words spoken. If you don't know this, then just look how industry has changed. I'm amazed at the people who they make their living by being called what they call themselves influencers. And really all this is they have gained a following on some sort of platform, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. They've gained a following because of things that they have said and ideas that they have promoted. And I'm amazed. I'm from the old school. You used to get up and go to work and do things with your hands, and you know, you used intellect and everything. You didn't just like put a camera on and spew whatever came to your mind out and make thousands of dollars. But guess what? People do this. It's not a joke. People make a ton of money saying things because they have tapped into a principle, and I believe a biblical principle, that our voices are powerful, that what we say matters, and what we agree with and what we promote has an impact on the world and the things around us. This isn't a new concept. They didn't just figure this out. The Bible figured this out for us a long time ago. When Proverbs, a wisdom writer, wrote in Proverbs 15, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. In other words, depending on what comes out of your mouth, you can make things awesome or you can make things horrible, because there is power in the words that you speak. Thanksgiving, if we're all honest today, I think it is been shaped the last few years, maybe the last decade, maybe the last couple decades, into definitely less than what God calls it, at least scripturally, in His word. And if we're not intentional today, Thanksgiving will become nothing more than what it is to millions of Americans. Thursday will be another day. It'll be a day to maybe gather and a day to laugh, a day to talk, and a day definitely to eat. Come on, somebody, amen. A day to eat, and then for a lot of you, a day to shop. I figured I'd get a couple amens on that. So that's what Thanksgiving has become to a lot of people. It's also known as the four G's. It's the day to giggle, to gab, to gobble, and to get. And that's all that it is. But I want to promote to us today to have Thanksgiving Bible style. How many want a Bible style Thanksgiving? Anybody want a biblical Thanksgiving? When you look at the word Thanksgiving in your Bible, it actually is a, especially in the Old Testament, it's a Hebrew verb. That verb for giving thanks is yada. Everybody say yada. Come on, it's even fun to say. Look at somebody and say yada. Yada is the Hebrew verb for giving thanks. And biblically, thanks to God, it always consists of confessing in the context. When you read this Hebrew words, it's not just a feeling. It is actually a verbalization of something. And in detail, it's exactly a verbalization of what God has done and what he continues to do for his people. So here's what I'm saying today. If you're going to have Thanksgiving Bible style, it's more than just saying just thank you in the context of checking off a box of social graces. Like you tell a child, now what do you say? Because that's just what's supposed to happen. It's Thanksgiving. I'm supposed to kind of set my mind and say thank you for things that I may or may not be thankful for. It's more, if you're going to do it Bible style, it's more than just an attitude of gratitude. It's more than just a perspective of thought. And for a lot of people, Thanksgiving is nothing more than a feeling. And if it's a feeling, it can be there, it cannot. Listen, if you're going to do it Bible style, it's more than a feeling, it's more than a thought, it's more than an attitude, it's more than checking off to a box. To the Jew, and I would argue to the believer in Jesus, Thanksgiving is not complete. It does not happen until there is a voice that is put with it to declare the goodness and the things that you're thankful for. So when you read Thanksgiving or thanks in the Bible, just understand it's not a feeling, it's confessing. It's not a feeling, it's a testimony. It's not a feeling, it's a track record. Not yours, not others around you, but it's the track record of what God has done in your life. And in the Old Testament, they were filled. This was part of the culture of worship in the Old Testament. They composed and sang songs that did nothing but give God thanks. Anybody know the story of Nehemiah? Look at Nehemiah in the Old Testament. He was centuries apart from David, but when he went back to rebuild Jerusalem after the Babylonian destruction and after 70 years of Israel and Jews being in exile in a foreign land, he comes back and he rebuilds Jerusalem. And he's got to re-educate everybody about who God is and how it is to worship him. And when he does, he reminds them. And he says, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. Now, I want you to understand, he didn't say praise and thanksgiving like it was one song that praised and gave thanks. It was two songs. Songs of praise and then songs of thanksgiving. There were certain songs they sang, and the only reason for it was to take everything that God had done for them and put those words to music and worship him for his goodness and his mercy. They would reflect and think about how good God had been, and they'd sing about it. They'd reflect about how powerful God was, and they would sing about it. They'd remember how God had healed their bodies, and they would praise and sing to God about it. They'd remember how God had brought them through and provided for them, and they would sing thanks to God. It's what we see in Psalms 136. This is a song of David. It's a song of thanksgiving. It's a song that articulates the things that God has done. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let me tell you what I mean when I say that he's good. He went on to say he's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. To him that doeth great wonders. To him that by his wisdom he made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made the great lights. To him that made the sun to rule by day and the moon and the stars to rule by night. Let me tell you how good God has been to him. And then he goes way back. That's smote Egypt's firstborn, and he brought us up out of Egypt with a strong hand and a stretched out arm, and he overthrew Pharaoh. To him, they go back to the Red Sea centuries before, to him that took the Red Sea and he parted it in two, the one side and another, and we walked over on dry land, to him that drowned Pharaoh in that same water that he parted for him. I want to tell you how good God was, to him that led his people in the wilderness, to him that smote our enemies and redeemed us from them, to him that provided and gave us food for all flesh. And then they sum it up in that story and say, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm preaching to you today, if you want to be intentional about Thanksgiving, you can't just think it, you just can't remember it, you just can't feel it. The true thing, Thanksgiving means that you say it, that it comes out of your mouth, that you tell of how good God has been. Is there anybody who wants to try it for a couple seconds here? Anybody that wants to articulate, I remember how he saved me. I can't remember the time, the last time that I felt that God's hand wasn't on me. I'm thankful for how he touched me. I'm thankful for how he moved in my life. Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, you've got to say it. See, you got a choice this thing. Say, you can have Thanksgiving. Yeah. You can have turkey, cranberry sauce. I'm a firm believer in cranberry sauce. You can have pies. Pies are blessed of the Lord. You could pay me in pies if you want to. You can have Thanksgiving. You can have your family. You can have your friends. But if you're going to do a Bible stop, you're going to have to give thanks. Because Thanksgiving is not something that comes to you. Thanksgiving is something that flows out of you. Thanksgiving is not something that you just enjoy. Thanksgiving is something that you enjoy and you give back to God. So I want to ask somebody, what are you going to say? What are you going to say this week? What are you going to say this Thursday? Because the Bible says in Psalms 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them tell the story. Let them remind everybody around them. Let them articulate, even if it is a conversation and a worship to God from your heart. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it get out of your head, get out of your heart, and come out in your mouth. Let it come out in a song. Let it come out in a prayer. Let it come out in worship. But put your voice to it if you want it to be Bible style. Amen. So this all sounds good. I mean, you all act like you're for it. Nobody's arguing with me. So what keeps us then from doing that? Why am I even preaching this? I'm gonna tell you Thanksgiving's biggest enemy. Thanksgiving's biggest enemy is entitlement. 2 Timothy talks to us about the end of days and calls them perilous times. And the characterization of people in general, there's a lot of things he says, but among them, he says that in the last times that men will be lovers of themselves. I mean, look around. I don't have to prove that, do I? I mean, men are lovers of themselves, and that men will love money. People will love money, and they'll be boasters and proud and blasphemers, or be disobedient to parents, y'all. You kids, listen to me. Disobedient to parents. But then he said that they are characteristic of the last times and the perilous times of the end of days would be that people would be unthankful. And thus unholy. So they would have a spirit of entitlement. And they would think that, walk around with this idea that somebody owed them something. That I'm owed a good living. I'm owed blessing. I'm owed peace. I'm owed all these things. They should come to me. But let me tell you, God doesn't, I don't mean to break your bubble too bad, but God doesn't owe us anything. But thank God he gives us everything. Now, if you can't put your voice to Thanksgiving, if you're caught up with this idea of entitlement, you're going to be like the man that constantly is looking for things to be thankful for. I mean, you'll have stuff, but then the stuff will get old. The story will wane. story will go away. Well, I've already told that story. What's the next thing that God can bless me with that I can be thankful? You're like the man that greatly hurt his friend. And his friend came to him and he said, don't you remember who picked you up when you were in the gutter? It was me. Told his friend, said, don't you remember who bailed you out of jail? It was me. Don't you remember who loaned you money when you didn't have a dime? It was me. Don't you remember who gave you your first job? He says to his friend, it was me. And the man replied, yes, you did all those things. But what have you done for me lately? Let me tell you something. If you're not intentional about Thanksgiving, if you're not vocal, somebody say vocal. Look at somebody, eyeball to eyeball, say vocal. If you're not vocal about Thanksgiving, you can end up with an attitude or a spirit that screams to heaven, what have you done for me lately? When you don't live in Thanksgiving, you end up focusing on things to be thankful for. And you need a list and you need the next thing to be thankful for. But let me tell you something, the blessings of the Lord do not have expiration dates. Hello. I'm going to preach there for a minute. I said they don't have expiration dates. As good as he was then, he's still that good right now. As miraculous as he was back then, he's still that miraculous right now. Jesus help me. I want you to notice Nehemiah. Nehemiah is teaching Thanksgiving, and he's singing Thanksgiving songs David sang over 100 years before. Okay? David, Psalms 130, him and his chief musicians, they're composing songs. I thank God for the new songs, but I just got to tell you, Sister Jerry, you might want to think about this. David wrote about stuff that happened hundreds of years before he ever even showed up on the planet. Are you with me? David didn't come. Oh, okay, maybe some of you are confused about the Bible. David did not come over the Red Sea with the children of Israel. It was hundreds of years later. Yet when David started thinking about, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, when he started thinking about how good God had been, he said, let me reach way back. Don't you ever forget. I don't want anybody to forget. Do you remember how he took the sea and he parted it from the right and the left and 2 million people? I don't want you to ever forget. Jesus, come on, I'll never forget what you've done for me. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his many benefits. I just want to ask you today, are you still thanking him for what he's done? And let me follow up with a question. How long is he worthy? You say, Pastor, listen, God was good to me, but that was 20 years ago. Is he worthy 20 years later? Is that miracle worthy of thanks 20 minutes or 20 years later? In fact, here's what I'll tell you. You get over a lot of current stuff by looking at past stuff. You end up finding faith in what God has done for what God is trying to do and what God will continue to do in your life. I got convicted not too long ago. Somebody asked me about my grandson. If you don't know the story, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he was in 2020. 2020 was a horrible time for our family. My grandson was diagnosed with cancer in the eyes. It wasn't just maybe he's got it. He had it. It was going to kill him if he was not going to be treated. And the treatment, I won't bore you with all the details, but the first course of treatment was to take the eyes out of the body so it could not kill him and get into his brain. I can't tell you what that did to our family. I can't tell you. That was a hard, hard time. I can't tell you the emotions that went through my heart watching my kids cry. I can't tell you what it was like for that baby to come back from his treatment and it looked like the doctors had just sucker punched him again and again. His whole face swollen up. His eyes swelled for days upon days upon days. I can't tell you, Brother Melder, I can't tell you how my faith was challenged. times when they're saying, look, we got no promises. We don't know if it's going to work. We don't know if it's not going to work. And day by day, we just kept going and going. And piece by piece, God kept doing. You see him around here. He's sitting on this thing. He's an ornery rug rat that probably irritating everybody here. He's got two eyes that can see as good as his papa. And it happened years ago. Listen, hold on, hold on, hold on. There is a tendency. There is a tendency within me to say, you know what? People are tired of that story. How many times are you going to tell that story? I'm going to tell you the Lord told me I'm worthy of that story, even if you tell it from 50 years. And hey, I don't care if you talk about it 50 years from now. I'm still going. I'm just asking you, what is your story? I don't care if it was 5 years ago. I don't care if it was when you were a kid. How long is he worthy? How long is he worthy? When I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! How long is he worthy? Darren Fisher, how long is he worthy for saving your marriage? How long? How long is he worthy when he healed your body? How long is he worthy for that? How long is he worthy for taking you out of Bruce Melder, God saved you decades ago. But how long is he worthy for bringing truth into your life? How long is he worthy for touching you? How long is he worthy for keeping your family together? I tell you, until he comes, until we're around the throne and forever and ever, he shall reign. He's worthy. You get up into Revelation at the end of the book, and the elders are around the throne saying, worthy, worthy, worthy. When I think, my soul cries out. This is why Paul would write in Hebrews and say, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What do you mean, Paul? That is the fruit of our lips. He said we get vocal, giving thanks unto his name. And let me tell you that while God gets all that glory, you've got some benefits to using your voice in thanksgiving too. The benefit of a voice of thanksgiving is, yes, glory to God. But I would argue it's also wholeness to you. Bible says that Jesus entered into a certain village in Luke 17, and 10 men that were lepers stood afar off, ostracized from their family and community. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he told them, go show yourself to the priests. The only way that they could be reintroduced into society was for the priests to examine them. And even if they were unwhole, and even if they were wounded, and even if they were damaged by the disease, there were criteria in which they could be called clean and reintroduced into society. And it came to pass, as they were going to go through that ritual with the priest, that the Bible says they were cleansed. Everybody say cleansed. I'm going to tell you what I think that means. I think that means the disease was no longer rampant in their body. I think the disease that was unclean and the disease that was contagious was no longer a threat to them or anybody else. But you know what I also believe? I believe that every scar, this is me, take it or leave it, but I believe that every bit of damage that was done by that disease was still resident in their body. I think if they lost limbs because of nerve damage, I think those were gone. They were still gone. If there were scars, if there were places, I think they were healed, but they were still visible. And there were scars that were still there. Everybody say cleansed. But then the Bible said there was one that turned around and he fell down on his face and he, watch this, gave him thanks. And the Bible said he did it with a loud voice, glorifying God. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They're not found that returned to give God glory, save this stranger. What was the result? Jesus said, I'm going to say to you that I didn't say to the other 9. I told them they were cleansed. I'm going to tell you you're whole. You got to understand, there's a healing that happens when you put your voice to thanksgiving. You'd be amazed at what kind of scars can be washed away when you start thinking about the goodness of God and you start celebrating the things that God has done in your life. Everybody say, ho. He stood healed, yes, and whole. I want you to stand with me here today. See, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Yes, stand. This is what I'm trying to tell you. When you say it, you feel better. Come on, that's a great place. I want you to think about it. If it's true, I want you to say amen. When you give thanksgiving, you feel better. When you give thanksgiving, there is joy. When you give thanksgiving, gratitude is further enabled. When you give thanksgiving, faith that is this high gets this high. Come on, is there anybody else? Anybody else been going through it? You're in the middle of it, don't know how to deal with it, but then you start thinking about how God did stuff in your life. You start counting your blessings, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, wait a minute. If God is that way then, can he not be that way now? And the answer is yes, 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 1,000 times yes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did then, he can do now. There's a healing and a wholeness that comes. There's an agreement with heaven that comes when you give him thanks. There is an encouragement that happens. Thanksgiving brings God's whole work to your life. It's worship. It's worship. We're going to worship the Lord here. We're going to worship him in thanksgiving. And here's what I know about worship. The Bible says that God is attracted to our worship. That's why when people start praising the Lord, have you ever noticed you kind of start feeling something? Anybody start feeling something? Nate, how about you? You're on the praise team. Please say yes. That when you start praising the Lord, anybody ever started out praising God not feeling a thing? But you started thinking about the goodness of Jesus and you started giving him thanks. And the next thing you know, there was a tapping in your foot. I don't know about you, but I can't hardly keep myself straight. And there was waving in your hands. Why? Because faith gets up when you give God thanks. He enthrones himself. He responds. He's in the middle of your praise. So here's the good news. I don't care what you need today. I'm not going to preach to all your needs. I'm not going to preach to all your woes. I'm not going to preach to all your problems. I'm going to preach to you, Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if you'll thank Jesus for what he's done for you, he'll respond. And when he does, he'll bring everything that you need along with him. He doesn't show up empty-handed. He brings his healing. He brings his joy. He brings his passion and his provision. Somebody say, he's got it with him. Somebody yell, he's got it with him. I just need to bring him to where I'm at. And I'll bring him to where I'm at today by getting out of my head and out of my heart and letting my voice flow out of my mouth, so that when he hears that, he will be drawn to my worship and my praise. Come on, is there anybody? They're going to start singing. I'm going to encourage you to get out of your seat and come on up here to the front. There's going to be hundreds here that are going to come into the front. Come on, I want you to bring your voice. Bring your voice. Listen. We're going to try it out. We're going to try it out. I had the benefit. Hold on. I had the benefit. I knew what I was preaching. So I've already done this. I was doing this during worship service. Nathan, I started just thinking about everything God done for me. And I started telling, I said, Lord, I thank you because I got to be this beautiful wife. Thank you, Lord, for this great church. Thank you, Lord, for my friends. Thank you, Lord. You remember that one time I ain't going to tell you about? Remember that one time where I really needed you and you stepped through for me? I just started literally articulating that and telling God that. It came out of my mouth, not thinking, but telling God that. I was amazed at how God responded to the voice that came out of my mouth. Could I challenge you today? I know there's a lot of people around you, but we'll go ahead and sing. They won't hear you. Go ahead and lift up your voice. Start telling God thank you for what he's done for you. Thank you for how he's healed you. Thank you for how he's come through. Come on, I dare you to develop a list and start walking down that list. I've got a list that I could talk all day long because the blessings of the Lord aren't small. They're big and they're more than I can count. Come on, that's it as they sing. Why don't you start thanking God right where you're at? Come on.